Turn to 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I'm going to open up this morning and read this because it sets up some things I want to say immediately. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." So don't rebuke an older man harshly. It's interesting to me, because I have not ever seen myself as an older man. I mean, I see Jim and Kelly as older men, but not myself. See, commentators tell us that the older man in this verse is someone over the age of 50. And so I know I'm there. I just don't see myself as being there. I see other people. I see, you know, Bill Wheeler. You know, I kind of see Daryl back there and a couple others. But, you know, I mean, Bob, I don't see as an older man, just a graying man, right? Graying. But I just think that's an interesting thing that commentators tell us that, you know, the older man is over the age of 50. So I looked on the internet and I thought, well, what are our advantages? What are some advantages of being over the age of 50? There's got to be some, right? And so here's the top 10. You can sing along to elevator music if you're over the age of 50 because you know the words. In a hostage situation, you're likely to be released first. You know, we don't want the old guy. No one expects you any longer to run into a burning building. You're safe. You can eat dinner at 4 o'clock and call it dinner. I like this one. There's not much left to learn the hard way. We've learned a lot the hard way. You actually enjoy hearing about other people's operations. It's kind of a strange thing. You quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks into the room. Your eyes won't get much worse. They're already where they are. There's advantages to being over the age of 50. Your secrets are safe with your friends, because they're most likely won't remember them anyway. And your joints are more accurate meteorologists than the guys on TV. You know, man, it's gonna rain tonight. So I just thought those were kind of interesting. You know, you've got this story, right? These older men over the age of 50 are who Paul is reminding as most likely he's over the age of 50 himself. It is very, very likely that what Paul is trying to tell Timothy here is not the words that you say, but how you say them. You know, I had the blessing 2 weeks ago of preaching from James chapter 3 and taming the tongue. And we talked about not only the words that we say, but how we say those words, how we do what we do, how we talk to folks. It lends itself to being an important lesson as well. So Paul is reminding Timothy about the how. Okay, because shepherding the flock involves encouraging and exhorting, not rebuking and whining. And so I think it's appropriate for not only Timothy, but for all of us in our relationships with people. How we speak, how we say what we say, how we encourage and exhort, how we correct, how we discipline is all a matter of wisdom. And we talked about that. I'm sure the ladies talked a little bit about wisdom this morning. And so I wanted to tie those lessons in together. It's just some advice from an older Paul to a younger Timothy. Not harshly, but with love. So, let's be reminded, Timothy's the man. All right, Timothy is the one that Paul has chosen to be in charge of Ephesus. It's his role. It's his ministry. And along those lines, Timothy is charged with certain things. He's given some responsibilities that are important. He is supposed to lead the church. He's supposed to find some right leaders, some good leaders to take his spot, to lead along with him. He's supposed to protect sound doctrine. He's supposed to be a workman, rightly handling the truth. He's to keep order in the church. That's his role as the minister, as one of the leaders there in Ephesus. Now, they've already got some elders in regards to other places. He's been given instructions as to who to put in the right place. But it's a constant theme to correct and to admonish those who might lead the congregation astray, but to do so with great wisdom. Wisdom is the key word. We talked a little bit about that in class this morning, and I hope that you got the gist of the lesson from James. He's simply saying, hey, wisdom is crucial, crucial in a lot of areas, but you can't get wisdom. I like how Kelly said, most people think wisdom comes from the internet now. One of the examples that he mentioned in class is when people are asking about how to discipline their kids or how to do better with their relationships with their wife or their husband or to deal with fellow coworkers. Very seldom do they go to the gray hairs any longer because the gray hairs don't know anything, or the no hairs, right? They don't know as much. Yeah, shots fired twice in the same day. But they don't come to those sometimes with wisdom. That's why I love the church. I believe the church family is valuable because we have an opportunity on Sundays, Wednesdays, and more often than that to come together and teach and disciple and to help understand or lend our understanding as we've learned it ourselves. But there's a lesson for all of us in this idea of wisdom. I think it's very, very important. How we say and do what we do is crucial to representing Jesus. So again, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I'll slow it down this time. He says, don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So he's to treat older men with respect. He's to treat older women as mothers and those of a similar age to himself as brothers or sisters. And notice he adds with absolute purity. Absolute purity. That's a key because of other situations that have occurred. Now I know Timothy is a young man. He's not supposed to let others look down on him because he's a young man. He's a single young man. And so what Paul is giving to this young man is this idea of using your position of authority, using your position of power could lend itself to problems. We talked about in class about Solomon allowing the wives that he had, in and of itself, just by using the plural, should tell you something about the problems that might exist with having more than one wife, but having more than one wife who are not of Jewish origin either, who brought their own baggage into the relationship, who brought their own gods and their own idols and their own ways of life, and it skewered and blurred Solomon's vision as to what God really wanted in his life. It's really important for us to see that. So here, the temptation might be to use his position of power to attract maybe somebody from the opposite sex. Hey, treat them like your sisters, but you treat them as your sisters with absolute purity. Don't fall into a temptation as a leader, because the church has been tainted in the past, has it not? With those who've fallen into that same temptation. I mean, there are preachers and elders and deacons and leaders who have caused many problems, hurts, pains, sinful relationships as a result of not having absolute purity in dealing with their relationships. And I think it's super important that Paul gives this advice to this young Timothy, because he understands, number one, Timothy, I want you to know your boundaries. I want you to keep yourself protected, but I also want you to keep the church free from controversy. It seems to be the thematic element. Hey, I want you to keep the church free from controversy. I don't want you to get the wrong people in the wrong place. I don't want you to get the wrong leaders teaching the wrong things. But most importantly, I want you, Timothy, you, to keep yourself pure, because you're the rock, so to speak. You're the guy that I put in charge. You're the man. And how you teach others, how you exemplify Christ, is going to be crucial to the growth of this congregation. And who you put in place to do what they do is crucial as well. And it's very, very important. You know, the church wouldn't be as tarnished as it is, or continue to be tarnished, if all leaders would heed this advice. It is what it is. Ministers, deacons, elders, members would have followed this rule of absolute purity. If they would, then a lot of controversies would not happen. That applies to all of us in our lives. And we have those moments in life where things aren't exactly the way they should be. So Paul is calling Timothy to lead. Be an example in word, be an example in deed, and be an example in purity. And that's really, really important. I love the story of Matthew Henry meeting his wife. It's a really cool way of looking at this particular aspect. How do you lead? Matthew Henry, everybody know Matthew Henry? If you go online and look, you can probably find Matthew Henry's commentaries on the Bible more than any other. All right, there's tons of commentaries. He was a minister, a pastor at a time. He was a Bible reader, ferocious researcher. Incredible commentaries. But when he met what would be his wife, she came from a different social class than Matthew Henry. And the reality was, she was above him. I loved Coach Jackson in Sweetwater, Texas. He used to always say, you know, we'd say something about his wife, bless you, by the way. He would say about his wife, Elizabeth, he'd say, man, I outkicked my coverage when I met her. You know, that's a coaching way of saying things. You know, she was a pretty incredible lady. And I loved how he said that, or, you know, I definitely married above myself, or, you know, God had really did me well, you know, as a man meeting this incredible woman. Matthew Henry meets this very wealthy, of noble birth, and she wants to marry Matthew Henry, and Matthew Henry wants to marry her, and they fall in love, and her dad won't even talk with Matthew Henry, so she goes to her dad, and she says, Dad, you know, I want to marry this man, and he says, he's got no background. You don't know where he's come from. And she replies, yeah, I know. But I know where he's going. And I want to go with him. That's a good leader. Got to know where you're going. I can think of so many times in my life and in speaking with and giving advice to young people. You got to know where your mate's going. That's the most important part. Yeah, there's times when you can look at the back side of things. We all make mistakes, and we have these skeletons in the closet, and some don't. I mean, they walked through this life and did rather well. But there are decisions that were made. David is a great example within Scripture of someone who makes a horrible choice. He wasn't in the right place. Certainly wasn't in the right where he should have been. Should have been out fighting a battle, but he chose to stay home. And looks across and sees this woman bathing, and instead of turning away and realizing who he is and what he's been put on this earth to do and whose father he is supposed to live like, he chooses to look. He chooses to stare. And then he inquires. And it just snowballs from there. And so here you have this scenario with Matthew Henry, whose would-be wife, and they would go on to be married, and she was a rock in his life and only encouraged him in his ministry and all the things that he did because of her belief in him, but because of his belief in God. You know, I know where he's going, and I want to be a part of that. And that's what Timothy is trying to instill in, or Paul is trying to instill in Timothy. He's like, look, I want you to put people in place who know where they're going, who know whose they belong to, and who live it out not only with their speech, but also with their deeds. And you see this same thematic element right? In the book of James, we see the same thing happening. It only makes sense. So putting the right people in the right place. I know Tim Pyle spoke last Wednesday night. I know Tim well enough to know he covered a lot of bases. I looked at this chapter and I thought, I know Tim is going to, you know, unpack some of this, what it means to care for widows. I'm assuming that he talked about a little bit about taking care of widows and what that means. And I know he talked about the importance of respecting your elders and mentioned the same thing. So I want to reemphasize this morning Paul's importance to Timothy, what he thought was important. And it started with his actions, Timothy's actions, and his words, and his deeds, and his purity. It started with Timothy. And then pass that on to the rest. Because as we're up there, you can go back one. Sorry, I didn't quite get there fast enough. I skipped that. But it says this, we herd sheep, we drive cattle, we lead people. I mean, that's what leaders are supposed to do. They lead. One man said, in regards to elders, they are leaders with a magnet in their heart and a compass in their head. I grabbed that quote because, you know, a compass tells you where you're going. And that's what Timothy is trying to learn from Paul. Where do I need to be going? Do I have my arrow, do I have my heart pointed in the right direction? And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy over and over again. We're really blessed to have two men who lead us in word and in action. I love Jim and Kelly's hearts. You know, are they perfect? No. Are they being perfected? Yeah. You know, because they're growing like every one of us, you know, and they lead and they show us, hey, here's how you grow in the Lord. You add to your faith all of these different characteristics and attributes. You look like Jesus by living like Jesus. And you just take a step. I've said this 1,000 times to teenagers, to adults, and I'll preach it 1 billion more times, you know, if you allow me. As long as you're moving and walking in the light, as you're doing your best. I mean, it can be big steps and little steps, and there's going to be times when you fall flat on your face. And as my dad has always said, when you fall flat on your face, at least you're going in the right direction. Right? That's all God has asked of us to do, is to grow, right? To continue to grow in our faith. And this is what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. He's reminding him of the little pitfalls and the negatives that can happen, but he says, you just got to keep pointed in the right direction. And when you're going to put somebody in charge, sometimes we couch that with all these, you know, checklists. But the most important thing is that person focused on God? Are they focused in walking in his light? That's the most important thing, I believe, Timothy would say to Paul, or Paul would say to Timothy. They desire to follow God while leading the flock, and they deserve double honor. They deserve double honor. Look at verse 17 as Paul writes here in regards to elders. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work in preaching and teaching. It takes a lot of work to lead a congregation. Do y'all realize that? I think you do. You know, I hope you'll give them a hug after church. It's in your notes even. I even reminded you in your notes to give a hug to our leaders and their wives. What they do. I don't believe Jim and Kelly consider their responsibility a burden. I know I don't in what I get to do here. It's not a burden. It's a joy. And I love what the writer of Hebrews writes here in chapter 13, verse 17. And I appreciate Bill reading that for us this morning. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that, and this is one of those, do this, pointing backwards, so that, so do what? Have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority, so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. It wouldn't be any benefit for them to be considered, you know, doing everything they do because it's a burden, but it's a joy. What's clear from this chapter is being a leader in the church is a tricky job. And trying to lead people. And then also on the flip side of that, being led, because Timothy's the one kind of being led by Paul, and Paul is pushing and pulling and trying to help this young Timothy to do things right. And he says, look, you're a young guy, And there's going to be moments when you've got to talk to the gray hairs. And when you talk to the gray hairs, you don't treat them with disrespect. You treat them like you would your father, like you honor your father and mother. And you treat these women that are the same age as you with absolute purity. Treat them like you would your sisters. And the older women, treat them like you would your mother. And so you have this words of wisdom from Paul thrown throughout the entire Bible about how we use our words, how we reveal our heart, shows how much we love Jesus, how much we understand who Jesus is and what he represented to us. So each day we need to do everything we can to bring honor to the gospel in our lives as the body of Christ. And I said it 2 weeks ago and I'll say it again this morning. Our words and our actions need to draw others closer to Jesus, not push them away. Everything we do needs to draw others toward Jesus. And that's Paul's advice to a young Timothy. There's tons of other things within this chapter, but I feel like sometimes there's a different... Well, I say that a lot too. There's a difference between preaching and teaching in my mind. I just want you to walk away this morning thinking of one thing, and that is, how can I grow closer and use my words and my actions to honor my elders and my leaders, submit to their authority, but draw people closer. Draw people closer to God. That's what I need to work on this week. That's what I need to work on every week. And so I encourage you this week to do those very things and think. We've been working on that too. Whatever's true and, well, did that last time, but what's true, what's helpful, is it inspiring, is it necessary, is it kind? Are those the words that I need to use? And my actions should reflect that. If there's something we can do for you, we use this moment to pray, to encourage.